Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will be finding common ground and taking it to the next level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. The show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understanding.
Different folks.
Here we go.
Common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Well, here I am again. I don't know where that intro was when I was looking for it at the beginning, but better late than never. It's my pleasure to have Caroline Nettle back on the show. Following a successful 15-year career in international sales and marketing, Caroline's life took a whole new direction when she embarked on a period of intensive self-exploration. This included recovery from a variety of addictions and working in a treatment center for recovering addicts. As a healer, teacher, and writer, Caroline's discoveries bring together all these disciplines and combine them with her passion for helping others overcome life's obstacles and move forward. She is a natural empath and a medical intuitive who empowers her clients and provides them with the tools to make real, positive change in their own lives and the lives of those around them. And so let me welcome Caroline. Caroline, how are you today?
I'm really good. Really pleased to be on the show again, David.
Well,
thank you for inviting me.
Wonderful to have you. Caroline and I are going to talk up front, and then if time allows and we have enough callers that are interested, she will do some angel readings toward the end of the show. So just hang in there and enjoy the discussion. We're going to talk about the journey to finding yourself. And Caroline, what's the first step in that journey?
Wow, that's a really good question. So I think it can often be quite an unconscious step in that, you know, like you said, I was in corporate. I turned into this really horrible, ambitious, you know, sick person because I was just working way too hard and not playing enough and just, wow, my life was really awful, but I thought I was doing the right thing and I had the nice house and, you know, everything was, I had the trappings. I just was desperately unhappy. But if you'd have asked me then, are you unhappy? I'm not sure I would have said yes, because I had convinced myself, is that the right way to say it, so much that I looked right on the outside that I was completely disassociated from what was going on in the inside, which was, I think, if I'm really honest, me going, get out, like a big scream coming out. So my first step on that journey was going, one day I have to leave. And I just literally that, I put my notice in, they wanted me to do 3 months, I didn't want to, but I did because I've been there for 17 years. And then I was like, wow, what am I going to do now? And I literally, this is honestly true, I typed into Google, Turtle Mexico Conservation. And the first thing, yeah, that's what I wanted to do because it was so different.
Sure.
And the first thing that came up was this project just out of Puerto Vallarta. And that was me gone. I just did that for 3 months and then traveled around and came back. Now what am I going to do? And then I found out I was a healer, which really surprised me, and started on that course. And I'd done that because I was sick, mainly the hangover from all that corporate. I call it a car crash now. But anyway, and then I went into healing, sort of went down that path a little bit. About 5 years into doing energy work, I went to get sober, which really is quite shocking now that I was doing energy work when I was still a full-blown alcoholic. But yeah, when you say what was the first step, it's really hard. I kind of tripped over myself and just did the next best thing. But it's definitely true to me now when I look back. It was something bigger than me pushing me to leave that world and pushing me into recovery and all of those things. What about you?
Well, I do want to delve into a little bit of what you said. For me, it's interesting. My journey towards finding myself, even though I wasn't in the corporate world at the time, that was part of my past. And then I became a social worker. And I don't think that things really started to click for me until after I got into recovery. I'd been in therapy for a number of years, and that just did not seem to be getting to the root of the problem, and it's because I was an active alcoholic. And I didn't recognize it at the time, but the client population I was working with were dually addicted people, meaning that they had mental health problems and addiction problems. And what I didn't see until a few years later was that these clients were teaching me those things that needed healing within myself, because I was diagnosed with mental health issues and I was an active alcoholic who came into recovery quite a long time ago. So that was my journey, at least the first step, and it was an unconscious one too, although I can see that there were some really interesting threads in how it all came to be.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's been an ongoing journey, and I trust it will be until the end, whatever that means.
Yes.
I believe it's more than we know in this life, and I have a variety of reasons for believing in that, but everybody has their own notions about spirit and life and afterlife, what have you. I'm wondering how you came to discover that you were a healer and what that aspect of the journey was about.
Yeah, see, if I look back in my life like you just did then, it is so funny to me. Somebody came into work whilst I was in the corporate world, and it was £5 for a session. And in those days, I was addicted to healing, crystals, chakra healing, whatever. I was addicted to it. And so I thought, well, £5 is nothing. I went into this little room. This woman laid me down on a couch and started telling me my story through, like, the bodywork that we, it's not bodywork, energy work. And I was just sitting there going, how did you know that? How did you know that? And she's like, shush, I can't do it if you keep talking. And I don't remember feeling any benefit from the session, that's true, but my body literally made me go for more. I can't explain it. I had to drive an hour to see her, and it was, you know, really expensive, but I just, like, I couldn't not book. It was just one of those things I had to do. And by about the fourth session with this woman who I wasn't particularly drawn to, I didn't, you know, it was really interesting that I didn't gel with her very well. I'm trying to be polite. But I, you know, I couldn't stop going for sessions. And by about the fourth one, I wasn't trying to fall asleep in the afternoon, which was really new. I was exhausted. I mean, I had serious exhaustion, I'm trying to say adrenal exhaustion and physical exhaustion and spiritual exhaustion. You know, I was spent basically. And I felt lighter. And she just whispered in my ear one day, why don't you take the course? And I was like, don't be ridiculous. I mean, literally, that was my answer. What are you talking about? And I have to be really honest. I booked the course. I paid for it. Can't tell you why. I wasn't drawn to it. I didn't want to do it. But I, you know, sometimes you just do things and then you're like, oh, why did I do that? And I walked into this room and I said, these are my people. And that's the first time I'd ever said that. And it was in London, in Wimbledon. And there was probably 20 people in the room. And it was a really full-on 4 days. And by the end of it, I was like, how did I not know I was a healer? How can I possibly have got this talent and have got to, I don't know how old I was then, probably my mid-30s. And everyone was saying, wow, you pick it up really easily. It's like you already know it. And, you know, and I was more shocked than everybody else. So How funny is that? Yeah, how funny is that? And, you know, what was really interesting to me, she was saying, you know, once in a blue moon, you'll maybe get this, we call it eighth chakra, because not everybody believes in past lives, so we call it eighth chakra, but you'll get an influence from a past life. But really, it won't happen that often, so I'm not even going to teach you it. From the first day that I started practicing, I'm like, past life, past. It seems to be something that's really just present with me, and I find it super healing because, you know, you don't know, not you personally, but one doesn't know why, you know, they keep bringing the same man into their life and he looks different, and or the same woman, or the same thing keeps happening. I'll be like, ah, that's because you in the former life did this, and we're going to clear that energy. And they're like, ah, feel totally different. It's so healing, and I love working with past lives. But anyway, so that's how I became a healer, completely by accident, but clearly it's what I was supposed to do. Otherwise I wouldn't be, you know, I wouldn't have, I don't know, I just know it is. And I want to say that one of the things that I was kind of alluding to when I was saying everything was unconscious before, like you, I mean, I got told that, I wasn't told that I was going into recovery for alcoholism. I thought I was going there because my life was just on the floor and I was really miserable and maybe they'd cheer me up. But I didn't realize I was going in there to get sober, which I'm so grateful for now. But at the time I was really peed off. I was like, oh, I've been duped. But when, so I'm 12 years and a month sober now, so not as much as you, but I'm very, very proud of that. But what I can see now as I look back over those 12 years, I mean, I was in massive therapy for, really hardcore therapy for about 3 years after treatment. And then that kind of eased off over the years. And now, you know, it's like I dip back in if I feel that things are a bit wobbly or whatever. But I didn't know my problems until about 4 years after I got sober, because our brains sometimes lock it away, and I had no idea why I acted the way I did and why I had the problems I had. And then through some really, you know, deep soul therapy, I discovered what it was that was driving my bus, which was, you know, just abject, horrendous abuse from a very, very early age. And then, of course, I had to process that and deal with that. And but it's really interesting because 3 days ago, I uploaded a video to YouTube because I got this in meditation, and it's called The Painful Truth About Sexual Abuse. And it was, you can imagine, it was a really hard video to do, but I just got to this stage where I was saying in treatment, okay, I have this story which I have recovered from. I'm alive and well and happy-ish, you know, I'm not sure I'm ever going to be excited, but I want to help those people who possibly are walking around just like I was, not knowing that that's what their problem is, or that they were abused, or that something happened in their childhood that wasn't quite right. And I can't tell you how many people have said to me, oh, I've watched your video and it's fantastic. And one person said to me, you shouldn't talk about that, it's too scary. And I thought, you know, I probably would have said that before I found out what was wrong with me. I think we have so much in our unconscious psyche that we don't want to look at. And I'm so grateful to my childhood now, because it gave me the gift of being able to transform. You know, before I got sober, I was a victim. I was miserable as sin, and I would make sure you were miserable too, because there's no point in you being happy if I'm really miserable. And I hated everybody. I hated myself more. I walked all over everybody's feelings. I didn't give a scuff about anything. And honestly, I think now, gosh, how did I get through the day? I literally loathed and despised myself, which I don't today. And that's such a blessing. But man, it's been a hard ride.
Nothing worthwhile happens unless we overcome some real obstacles along the way. And just to let the people that have just tuned in recently know, we are talking today with Caroline Nettle about the journey to finding oneself, and she is going to do angel readings later in the show. So please stay with us if you are interested in receiving one. Carolyn, you know, you talked earlier about how your healing happened by accident. You're coming to be a healer. But I'm sure you don't believe that there is such a thing as accidents. I'm wondering what you might say along those lines.
Well, I think it would have come out some way, somehow, if it hadn't come out the way it came out. That's true. But it's like, so when I was about 4, I come from a very traditional family who what you look like on the outside was the most important thing over and above everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was about 4 years old and I stood in the church and I remember this lady to this day and I just tugged on her coat and I said, "Your husband's going to die." Now, that's really shocking, but I was 4. I didn't probably even know what death was. He died within a week. My mother, you can imagine, was mortified that I had shown her up in church. I got boxed around the ears. And I wasn't allowed to talk ever again, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I literally didn't look at that gift until I was in my 30s. And this really good friend of mine, he said, "I'm going to go to this spiritual group. Do you want to come with me? Because I don't want to go on my own." And I went, "Yeah, sure." And I literally went to help him. And I walked in the room and this woman said, "Well, I don't know why you're here." I'm like, "Hello, my name's Caroline. What are you talking about?" She said, "Well, I can see you're really gifted." And I had no idea again. So it's like life just puts the headlights on and I have to go, okay. But I had no idea that I had any kind of psychic ability because I blocked it off so much, because clearly when you say something like that, in my family anyway, and no one in my family is psychic, or they all write books about disappearing languages. They're all academic and genius, and I'm totally the extreme opposite. But my point is, so I found that gift by mistake as well. And that's the one that has given me the most comfort in my life, because when you're connecting to the angels, it literally is about pure love. And I've never experienced that on this plane. You know, I've never really, I have friends that love me and I love them too. And that's one of the gifts of recovery. I didn't have that before. But yeah, I've never experienced the kind of deep, warm, cozy love. I can't put it into words properly, but that I experience when I talk to angels. I adore it. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. I would like to delve into that a little bit more. You talked about how it's hard to put words to the feelings that you get when you're in communion with angels. I'm wondering how it is that you communicate with them. And what if you can address that a little bit, that would be helpful.
Surely. Before I do that, what I'd like to say is I think myself and you and probably everyone listening to this, i.e. earthlings, have never experienced unconditional love. I think most of our parents, and, you know, there are people that are very, very privileged who had loving, caring parents who brought them up. But even those loving, caring parents probably had some conditions on that their children do the best that they can, look the best that they can, whatever. So, that's what I was trying to say when I was saying I'd never experienced that form of love, because I think there's so few people on this earth that can emanate real deep love, because we're human and we're conditioned in so many ways. So that, I just wanted to qualify that. And doing that, I've totally forgot. Oh no, I remember now. Okay, so how do I communicate with the angels? Okay, so this is another story. This is hysterical. So I'm nuts about traveling. This is one of my biggest addictions this lifetime, has been my passport. And I was working in the treatment center in Kentucky 2 years after I'd been there myself as a client. And I saw my friend in England had been telling me about Doreen Virtue, who now has turned into a screaming Christian and has said that all angel people are, anyway, I don't want to get into that, but anyway, she's denounced all her work. But anyway, at the time, she was doing a seminar in Hawaii, and I really wanted to go and see the manta rays and the dolphins and all of that, because that's my passion. And as I was looking at the flights, so I had two screens in front of me. One was flights and one was the cost of the course. And as I was looking, it went down from 1,500 to 777. And I was just like, that's crazy. I had $777 in my bank account.
Hmm.
So once again, I think I was supposed to go. So I go to this huge hotel on the Big Island and was in a room with amazing people, some of whom are still friends of mine. Just love them. And we did, it was really interesting. We just did, so like the first one, I would partner with you, David, and it'd be like, try and see if you can get a message about money for this person. So we all tuned in and said what we got. And then you picked somebody completely different. Okay, this time try and talk about health. And this, the next person after that, try and get a message for them about jobs or career. And you just did this like five or six times. And literally, I think that was the training. We learned a lot about, you know, the different realms and all of that. But I think that was the only real experience that we did. But somehow in that, I think it was 4 days, might have been more, I just got this deep connection to these amazing, loving, gorgeous angels. And often, David, I'll be honest with you, but often I say to them, are you sure you want to be me to be an angel therapist? Because like, quite a lot of people that talk to angels are fluffy and lovely and kind and sweet-natured, and I'm not like that.
I think you're short-selling yourself, but I hear where you're coming from.
I'm very realistic, mm-hmm. and I'm very down-to-earth, and I don't do small talk, and I'd much rather have a deep conversation with someone than talk about the way, you know what I mean? I'm a wise one, basically. That's what they told us on the course. You know, some people are different. I'm just a really old, wise soul who, I don't know. Anyway. It's learning who you, this, we were doing a call about how did you find yourself. I think so many things about learning who you are is learning who you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And I had swallowed what my parents wanted for me, hook, line, and sinker. I had gone into the corporate. I was doing really, really well. Like I said, I was killing myself, literally killing myself. And then, you know, the alcohol and the addiction to my passport and food and many, many other things was just a way of coping. And then I had to unlearn all of those behaviors, which that is not easy. I can tell you that, as you know. I had to unlearn all of that. And then I had to unlearn all of my parents' beliefs. And then I had to, unlearn everything that I'd been conditioned to believe. And then, literally, I was 40 years old. And I was like, what is my favorite color? I don't know. What's my favorite food? I genuinely don't know. And it was really like being a baby and having to learn, oh, I quite like orange is the one I've landed on. But, you know, I had to relearn everything. And that has been the best gift I think anyone could be given, because if I'd have carried on the way I was, well, definitely I wouldn't be here speaking to you, that's for sure. But I was so desperately unhappy because there wasn't an element of me at all in my life. Whereas now I'm 100% me, or maybe 90%, 100% might be a bit of a exaggeration, but 90% me, and I like the person that I am, which, oh, just that one sentence is worth billions of dollars in the bank, I think.
Mm. I agree. So the unlearning sounds like that was almost an epiphany for you, coming to see that you needed to relearn everything that you thought you'd already learned. What advice would you give to somebody else that is just starting on their journey towards self-discovery? And then we'll get into angel readings.
Yeah, so if you're just starting on your journey, congratulations. Even by taking one step onto the journey, you are walking towards the promise of something much better, much more fulfilling. What would be the first thing? Okay, I'm just going to talk about a really easy trick you can do. So easy. Takes a little bit of time. You get a piece of paper, you put a big line down the middle, and on the left-hand side, you write, all men should, dot, dot, dot. And then on the right-hand side, you write, all women should, dot, dot, dot. And just write until your hand, you know, I'll give you some examples. All men should pay the bills. I'm making this up. This isn't what I think. But anyway, all men should carry the shopping bags. All men should hold the door open. If those are your belief systems, write them down. Okay, and once you've written down all the things you think all men should do and all women should do, then go back and revisit it and write, what did my parents think? Oh, look, they taught me that, but do I agree with it? If you agree with it, great, keep it. If you don't agree with it, okay, I need to change that belief system. How do you change your belief system? You stop believing it, you know? Like, if let's just take something really simple, like all men should open the door. Why should all men open the door? It's nice if they do, but if they don't, that's fine too. It doesn't say I'm a good person. It doesn't say I'm a bad person. It's just, you know, courtesy, which is different from all men should, which means have to. So it's a really interesting way of looking at and finding out what you actually believe. And you can do it with children, you can do it with teachers, you can do it with rap stars if that's what you want to do. Just, what do I believe about the different areas of my life, and are those beliefs serving the person I want to be? Because if they're not, and I bet you about 60% of your belief systems will be what your mother and father, if you had both, taught you, and may have nothing to do with the soul that you incarnated in, or the body that you incarnated into this lifetime. So they may have my mum wanted me to be a lawyer. I do angel readings and I'm a healer. You couldn't possibly be further from the truth. But I did try, and you know, I did try and follow that. I need to get into, you know, I need to be a respectable business person, because that's what she wanted for me, and it almost killed me. So yeah. I'm not saying it's easy to unlearn these things, but, you know, another good one is just saying, like, what's your favorite color? Okay, my favorite color is red. Why is it red? Okay, do I really like red? Is that somebody else's favorite color? Is it really my favorite color? And I know that sounds really trivial, but if you question everything, I bet you find that quite a lot of what you believe, especially, you know, I feel so sorry for the younger generation. You and I grew up and we could make massive mistakes and really humiliate ourselves and nobody ever knew about it. These days it's all over social media and you're being told all the time, you have to look this way, you have to be happy, you have to, you know, and I think social media could well be generating a generation of complete narcissists. Look at me, this is my dinner, this is me brushing my teeth, this is, who cares, you know? Where is your character building, going out and saving the planet, for example? But anyway, that's just my opinion. But yeah, I think very much that, you know, at the end of the day, finding what you believe and adopting the ones that you like. So yeah, I want to be a kind, compassionate person. I was taught that. Yeah, I want to have morals. But I'm not sure I want to be, let's just take a few subjects like political, religious, racist, you know, all the things that perhaps have been passed down from the parents. Mm. Does that make sense?
It makes absolute sense. And I think that for a lot of people, they never get beyond that. And that's sad, but that's apparently part of their journey, part of their challenge, part of the contract, the soul contract they entered into when they came into this life, and it will be their challenge to uncover the real self in another lifetime. But it's wonderful when somebody discovers that they have headed down the wrong path for themselves and can rediscover who they truly are. I think that that's the beautiful thing about stuff like addiction or mental illness, things that we may have judged to have been bad things that are really just opportunities to open the door to new beginnings and to new understandings of who we really are.
Absolutely. And, you know, you said that you were diagnosed with mental health problems, and I just truly believe, and I don't mind if you don't agree with this, but this is my opinion, that mental health issues are usually spiritual screaming. You know, I need to react better to this world, and I'm not, like, you know, I'm super sensitive to anybody who harms the planet. It really literally breaks my heart. So I know sometimes if I watched enough YouTube videos, and I could go into deep depression if I don't watch it, because that's one of my triggers. So what I'm saying is, and that's a big spiritual, maybe I'm here to help the planet, maybe that's part of my life mission, but, you know, again, you can look at your life and say, what is it that I really care about? Because often that's the path you need to follow. For me, it was cetaceans and travel. And that's developed into gardening, but it's still the environment. And I want to grow superfoods and medicinal herbs, which is my latest project. And I'm very excited about getting that going. Yeah, no, that is really splendid. And then what I want to do is have people with mental health problems come onto the garden and, you know, benefit from being in nature. So I'm super excited about getting this part of my life going. Although, as I said today, what woman starts gardening at 50? I mean, really, I wish I'd done this in my 20s.
I started at 50, and that was great. It was a new beginning for me. And, you know, what you just said sparked a remembrance of something that I think is a really beautiful saying by Joseph Campbell, and that is to follow your bliss, follow your passion. I think that is the pathway to self-discovery.
Yeah. And it's so healing and so stress-free, and, you know, and you get to eat really good food. I love it. I started last year, I had literally a spade, a wheelbarrow, and a big pile of horse poo. And I had the coldest winter. I lost everything in a fire in February. I was grieving and mourning. And yeah, no, that was dreadful. But I had 3 months in the garden, screaming my head off and crying. And that was appalling. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. But then I had the hottest summer and the wettest autumn, and everyone's like, you started gardening last year. And I'm like, yeah, but from it, again, another great gift. I mean, it was awful. Don't get me wrong. It's horrendous. But I really learned that I'm a little bit too precious about material things, and that I survived. They said I shouldn't have, so I'm very, very grateful for that. And this massive outpouring of love for me. And I just think it was a really good lesson for me in you're loved, and you know, which I'm very, very grateful for. So, yeah, left me in my 50th year thinking, I've got nothing, and because I don't really agree with insurance, but there we are. And now I'm in the north of England, and I'm just about to start what I really want to do, which is gardening. So life has thrown me some challenges, but I'm starting to see that each one is a really good lesson, ability to learn something about myself, you know?
Wow. Well, that's powerful. Thank you for sharing that. It's amazing. Some of the hardest lessons bring us the greatest rewards.
Thank you
for sharing. We do have several callers on the line. I imagine they have been enjoying the dialogue, but they probably are also looking for an angel reading. Are you willing to move into that?
No problem. No problem at all. I love it.
Okay. Well, this caller has been with us since the beginning. And area code 917, do I have the pleasure of speaking with today?
Oh, hey, thanks for taking my call. You have a pleasure speaking with Tim from New York?
Sure. I'm sorry, what's your first name?
Sure, it's Tim.
Tim. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, Tim.
How you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. How can I help you?
I just was looking for an angel reading, anything Spirit has for me on my journey, trying to figure out where I'm going career-wise, purpose-wise.
Okay. So I'm just going to call them in because I was just all in myself there talking about me. Okay. So, Tim, how I normally get it to start with is a picture, and what they're showing me is a great big heart. So this is Tim's heart, right? Yes. So whatever you choose to do going forward, and I'm not necessarily sure this is what you've been doing up to this point, has to be really coming from your heart. It has to be very heart-based. I get that you are quite a people person, but you're also quite, you have moments of being quite out there, but you're also a little bit shy. And what they're saying to you is that, I really want to say, like, now is the time to step up. And by stepping up, what I mean is kind of getting a little bit out of your comfort zone and going for something that fuels your passion is the words I'm hearing. So I'm just going to say that. Again, they're just pointing me to the heart. So could we be a bit more specific, Angel? Yeah, I'm going to say I don't feel like you'll be working specifically around people. I think it's more of a, like, there are people involved, but I think they're working with you, and I'm not really sure what context I'm getting that in. I'm just seeing you talking to a big group of people. But I feel for you that the best way for me to say what I'm feeling is that there's big change coming. It's good change. It's really positive change. I see some really good people coming into your life, which maybe you've been asking for. But I also feel like they're not really telling me, because if I said to you, you're going to go and look after zebras for the rest of your life, then you would react to that and say, no, I don't want to look after zebras. So I think it's something, again, that's going to come from your heart, and they're asking you to go into meditation. If you don't know what you want to do, then just tune into your heart, and eventually with enough concentration on your heart will give up the answers, is what I'm being told. But yeah, I feel like you're one of these people that needs to hear it for themselves. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it all makes sense.
Brilliant. Good. Is it bringing up any more questions?
Nope, that's about it. Yeah, unless if you have just a quick tip on meditating, I just try to quiet the mind, but things always come in, or try to focus on a mantra per se. And I totally am that person where I know I want to do something, but I'm not sure exactly what.
Yeah, and I get that with you. So is your question, how do I meditate? Is that what you're asking me?
Yes, I guess it is. Any tips on meditation?
Yeah. So I'm just hearing hand on heart, literally. I've had my hand on my heart the whole time I've been speaking to you. So hand on heart, and just literally don't try, because your mind will race, because you're human, and if you live in New York, it probably races 4 times faster than everywhere else. So just, oh, look, there's a thought. I'm breathing. All I'm doing is breathing in, breathing out. I've got my hand on my heart. I'm just breathing in. So what do I do about what? No, I'm just breathing in and breathing out. And just practice doing that, because like everything, we live in a quick fix society, but meditation is something that comes with time, patience, and two words that everybody hates. And but just set the intention that you're going to be able to do it after practicing and practicing. And also there's masses of videos on YouTube to help you learn. So maybe that could be something you do. But I'm getting, put your hand on your heart and just breathe in and out and see where that takes you.
Sounds great. I really appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
You're very,
in,
very
Tim.
Welcome.
You
God
got
bless
it.
You. Okay, let's go to the next caller. Studio is operating fully. The next caller is area code 415, and you're live. What is your first name, please?
Hello. Hello, my name is Anne.
I can hardly
Hi.
Hear you. Is your phone muted, area code 415?
No, I was on speaker, and I'm off speaker.
Huh. I don't know if it's a problem with the studio, but you're barely audible. Can you hear her, Caroline, or no?
I can, no problem at all. How can I help you?
Yeah, kind of similar to the previous caller. I want to change my career line, and I just haven't seen. I signed up for a lot of job alerts and email alerts, and I just haven't seen anything I'm even interested in. So I'm asking about what path could I, well, do you see opportunities to find the next stage?
Okay. So I get straight away that you're not looking in the right places yet. And also that you need to spend a bit of time with yourself, a little bit what I said to the last guy, like tuning into what it is you might like to do. And often I say to people when I'm doing readings for them is like, what did you like to do as a child? And if they say like eat ice cream and play in the park, well, obviously not that. But for me, I was passionate about animals and plants, and here I am gardening. Do you see what I mean? So I think the things that we liked when we were little, but I don't feel for you that it's going to come from a usual, habitual place. I feel like you're going to spot a poster on a wall or a book.
Okay.
Yeah, like a book's going to fall open on a page and you're going to see something. I also feel really restless with you, and I'm wondering if now is the right time for this to come in for you anyway. Let me just ask why I'm feeling restless. Like, I'm feeling like it's more of a frustration with you because you've got this great gift to give to the world, and I'm not being told what that is, but it feels like, and you just want to get on and do it. So, I'm going to say just be patient, wait a little while, look out for signs that you see. So again, I'm going to say a poster on a wall, a book falls open at a page and they talk about canoeing and you're like, oh, I want to canoe, whatever it is. I mean, clearly not canoeing, but it might be canoeing. But I just feel like you're going to happen upon it, or someone is going to say, my brother's got a job going, and you'll be like, oh my gosh, that sounds like perfect. I think it's going to come, but I don't think it's today or tomorrow. I think there's a little bit of time. And you need to maybe spend the time that you're waiting for that to just have a, you know, maybe with a piece of paper and again, just write down, what would I really like to do? And just explore that within yourself. Does that help?
Yeah, I've just heard that all year. No, I just, month after month, like the same thing. Oh, just be patient and write down what you want to do. And it's just always in the future.
That's amazing then. So at least they are confirming what's happening for you. I think the problem with angels is they don't have the same time scale as us. But I do get for you that maybe it's the wrong time now. Like if you were given the perfect job now, I'm not sure you'd be in a place where you could take it. And that's nothing that you're doing wrong. It's not lined up yet. Let me just be a bit more specific. What can she do to help with this?
Yeah, I mean, how am I... It doesn't sound pleasant at all.
Really? Yeah, no, I mean, you're talking to someone here who for 10 years has been going, what am I supposed to do? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I have all these talents. And then now it's gardening. Who knew? I never saw that coming. I promise that's true. I grew the first thing I've ever grown for the first time last year, but it took me all that time and frustration. So I hear you very clearly. In order to get to the place where it was the right time and I was ready and it was all ready. So are you still working at the moment?
Yeah, but the rest of the month, it's kind of up and down. It's kind of seasonal. So the rest of the month is pretty quiet for work-wise.
So maybe take that time going out to places you would never go, like... visiting a zoo and then a garden center, and you know what I mean, just doing things to take your mind off the fact that you need a job, because I just feel like it's not the right time. And I know that's probably not what you want to hear, but it is coming, but I just don't think it's right now. You need to line up with it, but you know, I wouldn't take that as a negative thing. I just think, you know, from experience, it always works out in the end. It's just not fun waiting.
All righty.
Okay, well, best of luck with it.
Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, boy, all of a sudden the board is lighting up. Area code 804, what is your first name, please?
Hi, my name is Hugh. Thank you so much for taking my call. I am enjoying the beautiful dialogue and the positive information that people really need to resonate with. And there is a synchronicity I'd like to mention after I just get whatever general information comes through from the angels through Christine.
Hi, Hugh. How can I help you? Just a general, see what comes through, yeah?
Yes, and then I'd like to mention something synchronistic that through the discussion you had a while ago.
Okay, no problem. So what am I getting for Hugh? So I'm hearing that you have a very switched-on mind, like you're very intelligent and like you're, it's not, it's, how do I say this? So you're very good at people, what's the word I'm trying to get? It's not coming to my word, it's my mouth. Like judging characters, and you're very good at getting people, and you're very empathetic, and you've got this range of qualities, and they want you to hear, that whatever it is that you're worrying about right now is not something that you need to worry about. So the main thing that you're worrying about right now is not something that's going to trip you up. It's maybe not even going to happen. However, what I'm feeling with you is a strong sense that we don't value ourselves as much as we could, and I'm feeling a bit of a broken heart. So they're just literally, what I'm feeling as I'm talking to you is they've wrapped their arms around, their wings around you, sorry, not arms, and they are, it's like they're just rocking you backwards and forwards. And I feel like they're saying, we are hearing you. And that perchance some healing would be good. Does that make sense?
Yes, and if I can share a blog, because you mentioned the number 777.com, this will give some confirmation to some of the things you said. The word creativity, 777.com, is a blog somebody manages on the internet, but it has information about me and the earth angel that I was married to for 35 and a half years, who truly taught me unconditional love, which is what I say we all incarnate to learn.
Oh,
so in
wow.
her memory, I'm committed to empowering yeah. women and indigenous people globally as I work on rooting out corruption. That's the biggest problem. But you're right. Everybody has unlimited
Amazing.
Powers if they start tapping into it correctly through the right kind of heart-to-God connection. So that was, I just wanted to give that as a confirmation to you. You don't know me, and the reading you did was excellent, so I thank you so much. And happy Mother's Day to everyone.
You're so welcome.
Thank you, Hugh.
Thank you
very
much.
I really appreciate you calling in.
Okay, take care, and God bless. Right.
God bless you. Well, that was special.
That was super special. Oh, it just felt so nice. Yeah.
Okay. Area code 519. You're alive. What is your first name, please?
Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. I loved your story. Do you have any tips, or the angels have any tips for me? Is there something in my childhood that I should go through in order to move forward in my present moment?
Can I just ask how old you are?
49.
Okay. Yeah, the reason I asked was because, okay. So as soon as you said that, I saw you with a child on your knee. And the child was about I'm going to say 3.5. I'm not very good at ages, but anyway, between 3 and 4. And I feel mm-hmm. like the child on your knee is you. And yeah, we're on a public radio station, so I don't want to go into this too much, but I think it would be very ideal for you in meditation or in therapy or in some safe place to have a conversation with 3.5-year-old you. She is in shock, and I don't want to say too much, but I think mm-hmm. the healing is not going to be very deep and long, because I think she just wants to be heard. And I think you are ready. Today seems really apt that you've rung today, because I think today you're ready to hear her. And I think maybe you've had to not listen to her in order to get where you are today. That's my feeling.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Just know that you can ask the angels for support through this, especially if you need courage. Maybe Archangel Michael can be with you as you're doing this. But it could be a really empowering meditation where you just literally say, what do you want to say? I'm going to listen. And then just see what comes up, because you can bet your bottom dollar we've all got a small child in us like that that didn't understand or wasn't loved, or, you know, whatever it is for you. And, my inner child wouldn't listen to me for a good 7, 8, 9 months every day. She was so cross with me because I'd let her down so many times. But now we're best of friends. But it was really challenging in the beginning. But I don't get that with you. I think it will be, you know, you have to just love her and listen to her and let her say her bit, even if it doesn't make sense to you because you were 3.5 when it happened. I hope that helps, and I send you lots of love.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jennifer. God bless.
You're welcome.
I think this would be a good time if there's a way for people to contact you, Caroline, that you put out your contact information.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's always a bit hard when it's just a really quick interaction like that. But my website, if you'd like to go there, is spiritualgrowthtools.co.uk. That's spiritualgrowthtools, plural, .co.uk. And if you want to have a chat about anything, then just drop me an email through there. If I've touched on anything that's triggered something for you today, or if you just want to find out more about me, I've also got a YouTube channel, which is Spiritual Growth Tools. So if you look for me on there, and I've on there, there's some free meditations. There's my own Blog Talk Radio show where I interview lots of people. But yeah, I'm starting to do videos now which are given to me in meditation. And like I say, the one from yesterday was the painful truth about sexual abuse. So that talks about what to look for if you don't understand why you act the way you do and how possibly we can help you to heal. So I'd be really happy to talk to anyone about any questions they have. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you, Caroline. Let's take one more caller. We're not going to be able to get to everybody today. We'll see how this goes. But area code 202, you're live. What is your first name, please?
Claudette.
Hi, Claudette.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you today?
Well, not too bad. My question is, I just haven't been feeling well. My stomach hasn't been feeling well for about a week or two. I'm just wondering if you see anything.
Okay, so I'm actually getting a headache when I tune into you. It feels like a tension headache, like a stress headache. So, I'm not picking up anything in your stomach, I have to be honest, but this tension headache's really letting me know it's here, so let me just ask it what it wants. So there's some areas of your life which are cause areas, I think one area of your life that is causing you more stress than it should be, and now I can feel your stomach. Okay. I feel that getting rid of that stress factor in your life, which feels like a really big ask, I think it's quite a close to you kind of stress factor, will actually help with the headache, which is really, I don't get headaches, so this is really bizarre for me. But I think your whole system is just really, really stressed. It's like you're on overdrive, you're operating too fast. And I think your stomach is showing it because that's where, you know, usually the stress finds something. Mine's my knee, yours is your stomach.
Yeah.
I don't actually think the problem is in the stomach. I think it's just really big stress.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be happy to take this further, but I'm not sure that I can do much on air apart from that. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Is there anything else you wanted to ask?
No, that's the big thing. I guess I'm just going to have to learn to manage the stress.
So take a look on YouTube for a video I've done, which is a 15-minute meditation, which could well help you. It's called Vacuuming with Archangel Michael. And it's a 15 minutes in, and it will really help to calm down the stress. So I think that might be something that's free. So just Google that, Vacuuming with Archangel Michael, and get in touch with me if you think I can help anymore.
Certainly.
I hope that helps.
Thank you so much. Yes, thank you. That does. Thank you very much. Thank you both.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Claudette.
All right.
God
You're
bless,
welcome.
Hon.
Thank
God
you
bless you,
me.
Too.
Thank you. Well, I think that's probably a good place to stop, but sorry we couldn't get to everybody. But please check out Caroline's website. And, Caroline, I really appreciate you coming on today. I appreciate your candor. I believe that you probably have opened the door for some people, and that's always a gift.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk about me.
I hear you loud and clear. Well, with that said, let's come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience when we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good afternoon, and God bless.